Radio Prague News.
The opposition Social Democrats are electing a new leader at a party congress in Prague. The head of Social Democrats, Jiří Paroubek, has said that Parliament will not approve treaties with the United States on positioning an American radar base on Czech territory in this electoral term. And Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said that problems facing his government on the domestic political scene will not impact his role at the head of the European Council. The opposition Social Democrats are electing a new leader at a three-day party congress that convened in Prague on Friday. The only candidate is the current party leader Jiří Paroubek. The convention will also elect new deputy leaders of the party. One of the main speakers at the convention on Saturday was Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico, who supported the current party leader Jiří Paroubek. He said that social democratic parties worldwide have to focus on defending the concept of social state and reject solutions offered by right-wing parties. On Friday, Czech President Václav Klaus appeared at the Social Democrat Congress for the first time ever. His speech was closely watched as it came days ahead of a key no-confidence vote on the current government. The president declined to comment the upcoming vote, but suggested that during the period of economic crisis, political parties needed to display extra responsibility in the interests of the country. In related news, Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek said on Saturday that Parliament would not approve treaties with the United States on positioning an American radar base on Czech territory during the current electoral term. Mr. Paroubek said that his party wanted to sweep the treaties off the table last week, but the government pulled them out of the Chamber of Deputies. The attitude of Social Democrats was appreciated by the Deputy Speaker of the lower chamber of the Russian Parliament, Alexander Babakov, who is a guest at the Congress. Mr. Babakov said that Czech-Russian relations had recently been very active, mainly thanks to the Social Democrats. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said that problems facing his government on the Czech political scene will not impact his role at the head of the European Council. Mr. Topolánek's minority government is scheduled to face a vote of no confidence in the Czech Chamber of Deputies on Tuesday. At the EU summit in Brussels, the Prime Minister expressed confidence his government would survive, saying the opposition had tried to bring down the government on four previous occasions and failed. The news website aktualne.cz reported on Friday that Jiří Weigl, the head of the president's office, has admitted to lobbying on behalf of President Václav Klaus ahead of last year's presidential election. He reportedly made the admission when questioned by the state attorney's office. Last February, Mr. Weigl met with influential Social Democrat lobbyist Miroslav Šlouf at Prague's Savoy Hotel. Footage of the meeting, captured by a hotel camera, was later leaked to the media, for which the Savoy recently received an 80,000 crown fine. Aktualne.cz reported that Mr. Weigl told officials he and Miroslav Šlouf discussed whether it would be appropriate for a former Klaus rival, former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, to publicly beg his re-election. And a quick look at the weather. The first days of spring will see clear skies, to be followed later by clouds and periods of drizzle. Highest day temperatures will range between 2 and 8 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Chris Johnston. Thanks for joining us. Today, magazine, a mix of the offbeat, strange and quirky stories that have cropped up in the country. Another edition of Soundcheck, in which we use a pop song to tune you into some more useful Czech phrases. And later, we'll be meeting American writer, scholar, photographer and country music expert, Ruth Ellen Gruber. But before that, here's Daniela Lazarova with magazine.
A Czech man who thoughtlessly handcuffed himself ended up at a police station begging for help, but he found little sympathy as the police took him for an escaped criminal, the CTK news agency reported last week. The 48-year-old man from Brno found the handcuffs in a garbage can and took them to a pub where he bet his friends that he could free himself with the help of a piece of wire, just the way action heroes do. When he failed miserably, he walked to the nearest police station to ask for help. Unluckily for him, the officers didn't believe his story and immediately set about checking their records to see if he was clean. When they found he was telling the truth, they sent him packing, still in handcuffs. In the end, he had to find a locksmith in order to free himself. Well, that should teach him not to brag. Czech fashion designer Libiana Rochová last week presented her very first collection of glass accessories. The nine-piece collection was made in cooperation with the Ajeto Glassworks, which, thanks to its creativity, is pretty much the only Czech glassworks which is not having existential problems as a result of the crisis. The glassworks, whose art director is the famous sculptor Bořek Šípek, employs some of the country's finest glassmasters, who were immediately game to try their hand at something out of the ordinary, bringing a fashion designer's fantasy into real life and producing something light enough and wearable enough to complement a woman's evening dress or hairstyle. The nine-piece collection, called Homage to Glass, was a pilot project which has opened the way to longer-term cooperation. The fashion designer and Ajeto say they will produce a limited series of original pieces. Once the designer and glassmaster have agreed on the details of a piece and its color scheme, such an item takes only about 10 to 15 minutes to make over a fire. But that is followed by a longer process of engraving and silver plating. The production cost of each item is around 2,000 crowns, but on the market the pieces are expected to sell for 8 to 10 times that much. However, given their origin, you can expect them to become family heirlooms. Miss contests in the Czech Republic have finally reached the animal world. Several hundred sleek and groomed cats competed in the first ever Miss Cat contest last week. In the end, it was a tomcat who got elected Miss Czech Cat, winning favour with a jury by responding to basic commands usually reserved for obedient dogs, such as begging for something with both paws, sitting when told to, and running to fetch an object thrown by its master. Not your typical cat qualities, I must say, and I personally prefer cats with a mind of their own, like the 2-year-old cat Bismarck, who won a special prize for sleeping through most of the contest, being a cat gourmet and showing a distinct preference for men. If you think it sounds like a crazy contest, you may be right, but there is one good thing about it. The entry fee was a tin of cat food, and the entire collection was sent to the local cat shelter. Barbie's 50th birthday came and went, leaving her the unrivaled queen of toy shops in many countries of the world. But as far as the Czech Republic is concerned, sorry, Barbs, move over. The best-selling toy on the Czech market is, and always has been, Krteček, an animated cartoon character created by Czech animators Zdeněk Miller. Krteček is a funny, happy mole in trousers whose adventures fill Czech storybooks and who can be found on everything from pajamas and t-shirts to children's watches and school bags. He was born in 1956 when Miller wanted to create a children's cartoon about how flax is processed. He wanted an animal for the lead role and is said to have picked a mole after stumbling over a molehill during a walk out in the country. The first film, called Jak krtek ke kalhotkám přišel, How the Mole Got His Pants, was released in 1956, and Krteček has never looked back, winning the hearts not only of Czech children, but many kids abroad. Despite being born behind the Iron Curtain, Krteček was allowed to travel, gaining small fans in Germany, Austria, India, China and Japan. The first episode of the cartoon was narrated, but Miller wanted the cartoon to be understood in every country of the world, so he decided to use his daughters as voice actors, reducing the speech to short exclamations and sounds which serve to express the mole's feelings and make the cartoon easily comprehensible to children around the world. It did the trick, and Miller created the most popular Czech animated figure ever. His best-known quote is, "It took me a long time to realize it, but when I first drew Krteček, I was drawing myself." One thing I know for sure, Krteček fans will never end up as anorectics. The global economic crisis is having a far-reaching impact. Real estate prices are crashing not just around the world, but around our galaxy. The Lunar Embassy has announced steep cuts in real estate prices on the Moon, Venus, and Mars. Philip Reichert, who is the Czech Republic's Lunar Embassy representative, says that while in the past few years he sold property on the moon to 13,000 Czechs, sales have now virtually ground to a halt. Well, not surprisingly, anyone who's buying property on the moon in the middle of a global crisis must be insane.
This week's magazine was, as usual, written and presented by Daniela Lazarova. Now it's time for our weekly look at the Czech language via the lyrics of pop songs. In this week's Sound Czech with Christian Falvi, we look at some of the ways Czechs refer to death without using the word.
That was the Nahoru Poschodishi Dolu band telling someone, "Go stab yourself, girl." It might sound a bit brutal, but it's actually common enough to make it our phrase for this week's soundcheck. The intent is less malicious than it seems. The singer, we assume, merely wants the person to get lost, as we would say in English. The phrase, however, is disabodnout, go stab yourself, and it's the first line of the refrain. Have another listen. To English sensibilities, it may seem needlessly graphic to tell someone to go stab themselves, but sure, this is all part and parcel with the occasional murderous tendencies of Czech phraseology. In English, your frustration with someone might manifest itself in your saying, "I'm going to kill you," which works in Czech as well, but lacks something of the chilling gusto of common Czech phrases like "Nadělám z tebe sekanou," "I'm going to make meatloaf out of you," or "Stáhnu tě z kůže," "I'm going to flay the skin off you," both of which are equivalents to the not particularly nice, but nonetheless benign, "I'm going to kill you." The peace-loving Czechs are not harder on others than they are on themselves, however. Exasperation with one's own self is routinely expressed with a casual suicide threat, such as "Hodím si mašli," "I'm going to hang myself," or "throw a bow," literally. If you're just having one of those days, it's also perfectly understandable if you lament aloud, "Já se picnu," or "I'm going to shoot myself." So, for Czech listeners, careful not to translate your frustration literally, else you will have your English friends very concerned about you indeed. And for English speakers, if one of your Czech friends suddenly wants to chop you into bits and bobs, "Rosekám tě na cimpr sampr," don't take it personally, he does that to everybody. So, that's it for this week's soundcheck. Thanks for listening, and nashledanou.
Thanks, Christian. If you've joined us, welcome to the show. You're listening to Radio Prague with myself, Chris Johnston. Now, in the final part of our program today, Jan Richter meets Ruth Ellen Gruber in this repeat edition of One on One.
For decades, the countries of Eastern Europe were trapped behind the Iron Curtain, attracting only a few travelers from the West. Our guest today in this edition of One on One is the American writer, scholar and photographer Ruth Ellen Gruber, whose reporting career brought her to the communist bloc in the 1970s. She spent time in Belgrade and Warsaw, among other places, and after the fall of communism, she stayed in Europe and became a leading scholar on Eastern European Jewish heritage and the region's country music. Ruth, how do these two interests come together?
These interests come together in a sort of funny way. One of the processes and one of the things that I've been quite interested in and have explored quite a bit in the Jewish sphere is the way that non-Jewish people in Europe, in places where very few, if any, Jews live today, become interested in, appropriate, or use Jewish culture, Jewish traditions for their own purposes, either to form their own identities or out of interest. And I also became interested then in how Europeans are fascinated by the American Wild West and all its trappings and sort of feel at home in that mythology and often use that mythology to sort of inform their own culture. And part of this is country music.
One of your books is entitled Virtually Jewish. What does the term mean?
It stems from the concept that there's a Jewish space in Europe. This is a concept that was sort of brought out by a scholar called Diana Pinto in the 1990s, that there's a Jewish space in Europe that will remain there and be filled even if no Jews live there at all. So it's also sort of like the image of the Jew that continues to haunt post-Holocaust, post-communist Europe. And I was interested in how this Jewish space is filled. And since there are very few Jews here, the Jewish space is often filled by non-Jews in their activities, non-Jewish klezmer bands, Jewish culture festivals that are run by and for non-Jews, and Jewish museums that are set up by non-Jews, all of this type of thing.
You have seen most Jewish heritage sites around the former Soviet bloc. Under communism, most of them were not very well kept and, in fact, left to dilapidate. Are there any differences when you look at the various countries in terms of what they have been doing with the Jewish heritage since the fall of communism?
Yeah, very much so. It varies from country to country, place to place. And the country, I guess, that's been the most dramatically positive in developments has been here in the Czech Republic, where a strategy of dealing with Jewish heritage sites, synagogues, cemeteries, etc., was developed quite early on in the 1990s. And one by one, synagogues in the outlying provinces have been restored. They're sometimes converted to Jewish museums. They're promoted for tourism. And there's been a partnership between the Jewish community, local authorities, sometimes national authorities, and international organizations. In some countries, almost nothing has been done. And in other countries, it's a mixed bag. So there is a dramatically different mindset in many places regarding Jewish heritage sites. People don't ask so much, you know, why restore them anymore. They ask, you know, what to do with them, how to restore them. And in many places now, these sites finally are considered part and parcel of local heritage and national heritage. They're European. They're not a separate Jewish thing the way they once were considered.
Well, apart from all the Jewish heritage sites you've seen, you've also visited many country music festivals in this part of the world. How does country music stand compared to the original country music, that is the American style of country music?
A lot of the country music in Europe is, you know, imitative of the American. And there are a lot of fans and a lot of experts in Europe who will only listen to American country music. They reject any sort of local production. But what's interesting to me is the way that local societies, particularly in Czech Republic and in Germany, and also elsewhere, but in these two countries have sort of developed their own country music. I mean, here you make the distinction between Czech country, that is country music sung in Czech for a Czech audience. This was imposed under communism that to perform publicly, you had to perform in Czech. And the early bands who took English names, like the Greenhorns and Rangers in the 60s, had to change their names even to Czech names. The government mandated this. So there was a real Czech genre created of Czech country, and especially bluegrass has become very, very popular here. And yes, there's there's the American aspect to it, but there's also a type of the music that is very local, and that I find fascinating.
I remember my parents had an album by one of the most famous Czech country musicians, Michal Tučný, and he recorded that album with American singer Rattlesnake Annie in Czechoslovakia in the early 1980s. Why would an American country music singer come to a communist country back then?
I think Rattlesnake Annie, you know, she came here on invitation, and she and Michal Tučný just simply clicked. And they performed together, they got along very well, and she began a career over here. She was recognized, she toured not just Czechoslovakia as it was, but she also played in East Germany, and she played in West Germany, she played with a lot of European country acts. And she wasn't the first, but she was one of several American artists who made their careers in Europe. The most famous or infamous was Dean Reed, who sang a sort of rockabilly, rock country songs, and also appeared in the sort of East German Wild West films. But Rattlesnake Annie was unusual in that she did this in communist bloc. And the year before last, which would have been the 60th birthday of Tučný, the Country Fontana Festival was held to honor that date, and Rattlesnake Annie came back and sang the duets that she used to sing with Michal Tučný. She sang them with contemporary Czech artists like Petr Kocman and others. And it was a very moving moment. The crowd just, you know, went wild.
You helped translate several songs into English by the bluegrass band Druhá Tráva. They regularly tour the U.S. How are they received over there?
They have a following in the United States. They're known, and they usually, since 1994 until the year before last, they were touring every summer as long as 2 months at a time, as long as, you know, 40 gigs all across the country. And they have been profiled in the media, appeared on National Public Radio and other places like that. And it was interesting. I was able to catch their concert near Los Angeles in 2007, in the fall. And I was astonished to hear that. I wanted to really to hear how they performed in front of an English-speaking American audience. And, the main difference was that they sang more songs in English and fewer songs in Czech, but they sang songs in Czech. And the audience, you know, just ate it up. It was really, really a rapt audience. And what was also very interesting was at the end of the show, the owner of the coffee house did not let them get off stage because he wanted to know how come there's a bluegrass band and bluegrass in Czech Republic. How did you get interested in it? What is this all about? Because even that coffee house owner who had hired them and booked them and loved them, and there were people in the audience who had seen them over and over again whenever they were in the area, even he couldn't figure it out. You know, it was such a strange thing for him. So, you know, they had to stand on stage and sort of answer these questions. And it was really a scene. It was really, really interesting, really, you know, sort of wacky.
American writer, music, and Jewish heritage scholar Ruth Ellen Gruber was speaking to Jan Richter about her written, musical, and historic ties with the region. That just about wraps up today's program here on Radio Prague. As always, if you've got any comments, don't hesitate to share them with us. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and the postal address is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Chris Johnston, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.
I see your triumphs of feeling in the arms of another man. I have to think about winning when I shout my own drunken pleas. That after tonight, Lord, I won't love women on villa squeeze. Above me, like an autumn red span of sky.